name is Tanya Hall, and I was planned for God's pleasure. Okay. I grew up here in Owensboro. I went to Apollo. I am married to Wayne Hall. I have 3 kids, Jasmine, Austin, and Nathan, and 2 stepkids, Brittany and Luke. Before I gave my life to God, I lived a very destructive life. I was always searching, looking for something or anything just to fill an emptiness that I had, whether it was experimenting with things or even with people. I had my first child at 17 and can honestly say that she was not an accident. She was completely planned. For some reason, I thought having a baby, giving birth to a child of my own, that I would have someone who would always be there, who wouldn't leave, and would love me no matter what. Even after I had my daughter, I still continued to go down roads that took me the wrong direction. I would think I was going the right way and take 2 steps forward and about 10 back. All the while, I was just trying to find the place that I belonged and trying to find what it was I was supposed to be doing with my life. I decided it was time for me to give it all to God when I had nowhere else to look. There was nothing left that I hadn't done or tried. I had looked for the something that was missing anywhere and everywhere. And 3 kids later, when there was nowhere else to go, I knew I had to give it to God. In the past year, I've committed my life to God and was baptized with my 3 kids together. God has completely changed our lives around. For us, going to church on Sundays is not something we do as a family. It's not just a place to go or somewhere to spend time together. It's something that we live. It's a part of our life. It's become who we are, not where we go. For the longest time, I didn't feel like that I belonged at church or that I wasn't like everyone else at church. I didn't deserve God's love. I had done too many things for Him to love me. And now I know that I do belong there and that God does love me no matter what. People really are planned for God's pleasure and they really are loved no matter what. My name is Tanya Hall. I was planned for God's pleasure and so are you.
Amen. Did you know today that you were planned to receive God's love? Look at your neighbor. Look at your neighbor and repeat after me, Jesus loves you. I don't know if you've been told that today or not, but you need to hear that today, that Jesus loves you. He's got a plan for you. He's got a future for you. He loves you no matter where you've been, what you've been with, what you've done, where you think you're going. Jesus Christ has a plan for you, and He loves you today. And what a powerful testimony to hear that we were planned for God's pleasure today. I want you to know, as you take your Bibles and you open up the book of Ephesians, and we want you to take your sermon notes, lots of scripture that we're looking at this morning. But this is the second message in our sermon series, What on Earth am I here for? As we are looking at biblical reasons why God allowed you to be born, biblical reasons why you're here today, biblical reasons why God put you on earth. We talked last week that there's not a single person who is an accident. There is not a single person who is illegitimate. Everybody has a reason. Everybody has a purpose in Jesus Christ. And we talked about last week how we understand that we have to first answer God's call in our life, that He is trying to get our attention. He's trying to speak to us, and we have to answer that call. We have to receive Him as our Lord and Savior before we really dig into our purpose of life. As we study Scripture, we understand that when we answer the call of God in our life to say yes to Jesus, when we say yes to Jesus, we understand that there are five purposes for the reason that you live. There are five reasons why your heart beats according to Scripture. Now again, as we talked about last week, you first have to answer the call of God and say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I need Jesus. I believe You died on the cross. I believe You rose again. Come into my life and save me. And then that enters you into the journey to discover why on earth you're here today. Now, our video testimony said it accurately, that you were planned for God's pleasure. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that in a second. Sam read our memory verse for us as we began worship this morning, but let's read it together. It's from Romans 6, 13. Let's read this together. Remember, during our sermon series, our campaign, our What on Earth Am I Here For, we're memorizing Scripture every week, new Scripture. So let's say this one together. Are you ready? Give yourselves completely to God since you have been given new life. And the address for that is Romans 6, 13. Let's say it again. Give yourselves completely to God since you have been given new life. Romans 6, 13. Hey, we today are to live for God because God has done something truly remarkable for us. The Lord has done something truly incredible to us, for us, and that is to give us new life and new birth and a reason to live. Our sermon text this morning comes from Ephesians 1, 4 through 6. And it's there on your program, and it's going to be on the screen. And it says this, for He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. In love, He predestined us to be adopted through Jesus Christ for Himself, according to His favor and will, to the praise of His glorious grace that He favored with us, favored us within the beloved. That Bible verse has a lot of big words in it. It says a lot like, in Him before the foundation of the world, predestined. What's He talking about? Well, this is what He's saying. He's saying that before time ever began, before the world ever began, before anything ever happened, you were already on God's mind. Now you think about that for a second. Before the earth was ever spoken, you were already on God's mind. Now God knew that when you were created that you would wander off. He knew you'd make mistakes. He knew you would sin. He knew that. So a long, long time ago, before the world was ever created, He formed a plan. And the plan was this, that you would be brought back to God through Jesus Christ. The plan, you can't miss that part. That's important in this text. The predestination part is that it was always determined, it was already predestined that those that would be saved would only be saved in Jesus. That's not saying that God saves some and doesn't save others. That's not what it's saying. It's simply saying this, that Jesus was the plan from day one. Look at your neighbor and say, it's always been about Jesus. It's always been about Jesus. God wants to save people. And how's He going to save them? Through a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's always been about Jesus. That's the only way a person can be saved. That's the only way a person can be saved. We put it in bold for you, but just look at what He did for you. For He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless. God's plan for your life was that you would live for God. He put you in this world so you would live for Him. Look at that. In love, He predestined. Hey, a long time ago, He was already loving you before you were even born. He was already loving you. He was already loving you. And He had planned that your salvation would only come through Jesus. It wouldn't come through how much money you have. It wouldn't come through your credentials. It wouldn't come through how faithful you were to church or how faithful you weren't to church. It wouldn't come if you came from this family or that family. No, you would only be saved through Jesus Christ. That's it. That's the plan. It's always been the plan that people would be saved through Jesus. It was actually, here's what's amazing. You need to understand that it's always been that people would come to know Jesus through faith. And that through that, our relationship with God would be restored. Now, as we start talking about our purpose and our meaning in life, look at this. The first purpose of my life is to be loved by God. Fill that in on your blank. Is to be loved by God. Now, I want you to stop right there. Notice what I didn't say. I didn't say your first purpose in life is to earn God's love. That's not what I said. I didn't say your first purpose in life was to beg for God's love. I didn't say that either. I didn't say that your purpose in life was to get God to love you. I'm just saying that your first purpose in life is to be loved by God. Because a long, long time ago, before the earth was ever born, He was already planning you for pleasure, for His pleasure, so that you could receive His love, for you to be a recipient of His love. Now, this is going to shock us, fry our brains for some of us, because we have been taught that if you want God to love you, you got to do this, 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 and then maybe if you do it just enough, He'll love you. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says you've been loved before you were ever born, always been in love by God. So if your first purpose in life is to be loved by God, your first calling in life to answer is this, is to enjoy a relationship with God. Enjoy a relationship with God. Kenny, are you serious? I mean, church is supposed to be boring, right? I mean, 11 o'clock sharp, 12 o'clock dull. Amen. You know, that's how it works, right? I mean, we get in there, we punch our clock, we do our religion thing, we say amen, hallelujah, bless God, we eat our donuts, drink our coffee, go home unfazed, untouched, unaffected at all, and we just leave. But that's not what God wants. He wants you to enjoy a relationship with Him. Hey, religion kills. Now, some of y'all been in religion where you got to do this, don't do that, and everything. I mean, it's just like it sucks the life out of everything. I mean, it just looks like God is angry. He's ready to throw a lightning bolt at you. He's ready to fry you in a skillet. I mean, it just sucks the life out of everything. You've been there. You've done that. And it kills. Religion kills. Religion goes on crusades. Religion goes on war. Religion flies airplanes into buildings. Religion kills. But a relationship with God is to be enjoyed. To allow God to love you. To allow His love to soak into your life. I'm telling you that your first purpose in life is to be loved by God. You were planned for God to love you. For you to sit back and to let God love you. That's hard. Because some of us don't love ourselves, do we? We don't love ourselves. We hate everything about us. We hate the way we look. We hate our size. We hate our shape, our size. If I was only a little bit bigger, a little bit wider, a little bit thinner, a little bit smaller, a little bit smarter, whatever, then maybe I would love. But I'm telling you right now that you were planned exactly the way God wants you to be. You look exactly the way God wants you to look. You are put on this earth exactly the way the Lord wants you to be. Now, I want you just to think about God's love for a second, because, boy, it is awesome. Ephesians 3, 17 through 19. I didn't have room in the bulletin this morning, but I made a reference, so I'm just going to put it on the screen. It says this, that the Messiah may dwell in your hearts. I pray that you, being rooted and firmly established in love. Look at that part. I pray that you, being rooted and firmly established in love, go to the next slide there, may be able to comprehend with all the saints, what is the length and width and height and depth of God's love? Paul said, I just pray that you can fathom how big God's love is for you. Look there on your notes. God's love is wide enough to be everywhere. God's love is long enough to last forever. God's love is deep enough to handle everything. God's love is high enough to overlook sins. Can we just say this together? I'm really liking y'all repeating stuff with me. This is good stuff. Let's say God's love is wide enough to be everywhere, long enough to last forever, deep enough to handle everything, high enough to overlook sins. Now, when you let that get in your brain, that God's love is high, deep, wide, long, when you let that soak in, oh my goodness, it will do something to you. That God loves you no matter where you've been, what you've done, what you're going to do. God loves you. Jesus Christ loves you. The Bible speaks of love in a great way. And I just want you to know that that is a reason you're on earth. I mean, I just want you to know that is one of your purposes, is to let God love you. Just open up your heart and let Him pour that love into your life. Because we've been taught we got to earn it, we got to work for it, we got to perform for it, we got to do this, we got to do that. And I'm telling you, God deeply, highly, lengthily loves you just as you are today. And oh, how we need to be freed by this. How we need to just understand. You know, when we begin to dwell on God's love, things change. You know, when I was dating Taryn and I realized that I loved her and that she was going to be my bride, boy, it did something to my thinking, didn't it? I mean, you start thinking, Taryn Elise Rager. That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? You know, Taryn Rager. And I would think about what our wedding would be like. I would think about this or that, what our kids would look like. And boy, I was just Taryn obsessed. You know what I mean? I just love my, still do, baby. You looking good back there. Still do. Love my bride. Love my bride. It gets on you. You in love. You got the puppy eyes. You just love. You just love. And it does something to you. It affects the way you move. It affects the way you live. It affects everything. So what would happen if we begin to fathom and comprehend how much God loves us? What would that do to us? If we could understand the width, the depth, the height, the length of God's love for us, no matter what we've done. I want to tell you that it will change your life. If you begin to live on purpose and to let God just love you today, quit trying to earn it or work for it or do whatever, if you just let Him love you today, you'll live your purpose. Remember, your purpose ain't your career. It ain't your job. It's not what you do. Your purpose is to let the Lord Jesus Christ love you. I want us to look at five things quickly that will happen when you just step back and you become aware that God loves you just as you are. When you become aware of God's love. And maybe today we just need to pray that God would let us be aware of His love. Actually, you know what? This is a little different. Let's just do that. Before we start doing that, let's pray that God makes us aware right now of His love for us. Can we do that today? Let's bow. Lord, we've been challenged with the width, the height, the depth, the length of the love of Jesus. We were created. We were created to be loved, is what you said in Ephesians. Lord, make us aware of that. We pray in Your name. Amen. Five things. What happens when you're aware that God immensely loves you? Let's look. First, I feel accepted rather than ashamed. I feel accepted rather than ashamed. Many people in life avoid God because they're ashamed of their sin. They don't want to go near God. They don't want to go touch God. And we understand that for a reason, because He's holy. Because He is a right God, a good God, an amazing God. We avoid Him. We avoid Him because of where we've been, what we've done, because of our shame. And we believe that if we come to God, that He will constantly remind us of our shame. If we come to God, He will constantly be throwing that up in our face. But look what Romans 5:1 says. Therefore, since we have been declared righteous by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And on your bulletin or in your Bible, circle the word declared righteous. Those two words. Circle those. You know, when you become to the Lord Jesus Christ and by faith, when you come to the cross and say, Lord, come into my life and save me. You know what happens? The Bible says you are declared righteous. It's a done deal. You are declared righteous. What does righteous mean? Right with God. Now, I just want you to think about that for a second, that when you give your life to Jesus, God says, things are good. It's good. It's good. Things are okay. Now, this is blowing some of your all's brains, because that's not how you see God. You see God with the lightning bolt and the finger pointed, you know, pointing at your nose and all this stuff. You see that, but that's not what happens. By faith in Jesus Christ, you are declared righteous in His sight. By His blood and through His grace, you're declared righteous. Mind-blowing to some of us. Because I look in the mirror, I don't see a righteous guy. Anybody else feel my pain on that? But when God looks at me, He sees Jesus Christ. Okay, because that's because you're a preacher. That's every reason for God not to look at me and see Jesus. I'm telling you right now that the Lord sees Jesus in me, not because of what Kenny Rager's done, not because he's a pastor, not because he's this or that, but simply because when I was 7 years old, I invited Christ into my life and he saved me. And I was made right with God. Well, Kenny, you messed up after you were seven, didn't you? Of course I did. But his cross and his blood was high enough, wide enough, deep enough, long enough to cover me. Cover me. That's going to free some of you all today because you think, well, I got saved and I made these mistakes as a Christian, therefore God doesn't love me anymore. No, that's not right. You were declared righteous when the Lord Jesus Christ came into your life. Hey, it ain't about you. Get it through your brain. It ain't about you. It's about what God does for you. Are y'all with me on this today? This is a paradigm shift. This is big stuff for us. It means to be declared righteous. And because of that, we're accepted today. God accepts us if we know Him by faith. He welcomes us. He loves us. He has a plan for us. He accepts us. Some of us today are addicted to acceptance. Did you know that? We are addicted to approval is what we're addicted of. We dress the way we do to get other people's attention and their approval. We talk the way we do to get other people's acceptance and approval. We do certain things in life, some things that you would not do, but you do them because you want the approval of other people. You've been trying to gain approval from some people that will never, ever give you their approval. They will never, ever accept you, and you are simply addicted to approval today. But I'm telling you that when you come to God, you no longer need man's approval anymore. Because God now accepts you. The end. You know, pastors get criticized all the time. Sermon too long, too short, too this, too that, all this stuff. We get criticized all the time. But I just want to love you all real quick and lovingly tell you, I don't need your approval this morning. Boy, my God loves me no matter what I do. I don't need your approval. I love you. You're great. High five. We'll go eat Mexican. But I don't need your approval this morning because God loves me today. Likewise, He loves you too. You don't need man's approval. You need God's approval today. That comes, again, through realizing that you're made to be loved by accepting Jesus. Second, when you are aware of God's love in your life, boy, that width, that deep, that height, that length, when you're aware of it, listen to this. You will then be bold in bringing your requests to God. I am bold in bringing my request to God. Listen to what Hebrews 4:16 says. Therefore, let us approach the throne of grace with boldness. God's throne. With what? Boldness. Boy, does that just wrap your brain up for a second. Approaching God's throne of grace with boldness. So that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us at that proper time. There's another verse in Romans 8 that says that when the Spirit is in our hearts, we cry out, Abba, Father. Abba, Father. And that doesn't mean a lot to you. When you hear Abba, you think of a Swedish rock band, don't you? You know? Mamma mia, here I go again. My, 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 my. That's what you think when you hear of Abba, right? And some of you are like, what is he talking about? This is crazy. But let me tell you this. Abba was the Aramaic word for daddy. Papa. Very simple to say. A child would first learn that. He would first learn that by saying, Abba, Abba. Very simple to understand. Did you know that when we give our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ, hear me on this, we are now allowed to call our Father, Daddy. Daddy is a relationship that we have with God, a close, personal, intimate relationship where it's no longer we're afraid of him, but he's our daddy. When Gracie comes to me, my oldest daughter, when she comes to me and she says, Daddy, can I have cereal? Can you give me some cereal? Daddy, I need cereal. She does not come up to me and say, Oh, Father Rager, perpetuator of the Rager clan, I humbly seek you today. I beseech you to reach upon the high refrigerator and to bring forth the Cheerios down to common man. That's not what she does. Not what she does. She simply says, Daddy, cereal. Okay. You got it. You got it. You got it. Likewise, when we come to God and we let the love of God get all over us, hear me. We have audience with God. We have the boldness to bring to the Lord. I don't know if some of y'all getting to know me and getting to know that I'm really weird sometimes, but I love music. Me and Taryn, we've seen the Dave Matthews Band a couple times, and we love seeing the Dave Matthews Band. We really like them a lot, and the two times that we've seen them, we went to a theater in Noblesville, Indiana, and it's a real big, steep lawn. That's all we could ever afford to go see Dave Matthews. We'd have to sit in the nosebleeds, basically. We'd have to squint to see Dave, you know, and we'd have these big screens hanging up, and if it wasn't for that, you know, we might as well just been watching a TV show because, you know, we couldn't really see him. But you know what? There were people there that had badges hanging around their necks. And you know what? They could go from the nosebleeds down to the cheer backs, and then they could go, you ready for this? Then they could go backstage. They could even go and talk to the musicians. Now, me and Taryn couldn't because we were just there. We had the cheap no-seat, nosebleeds tickets. If we tried to go up there backstage, there would have been some dude meeting me saying, "Don't think so. Don't think so." But those with the badge had full access. Can I tell you what happens? When we give our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus is our badge. And we have full access to God. Isn't that wonderful today? Full access to God. Full access. You can bring your requests to God. You can bring them to the Lord. You can bring them to the Lord. Third, check this out. I have peace in pain I don't understand. I have peace in pain I don't understand. Philippians 4:7. "And the peace of God, which surpasses every thought, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." I want to tell you right now, bad things happen to good people. Bad things happen to bad people. Bad things happen to everybody. Why? Because we live in a fallen world that's full of sin, and it won't be perfect if the Lord comes back. I wish I could answer your questions on why bad things happen to you, why evil things happen to you, and why you become the victim sometimes of awful, awful things. And I simply tell you that I don't have the answer for that. I don't know. Don't know why people get sick. Don't know why people leave you. Don't know why people hurt you. But I know what this Bible verse says. And it says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses every thought, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Here's what I love, is that the love of God is so awesome that He promises us peace. Peace that what? Surpasses every thought. One translation says, goes beyond understanding. Here's what's awesome. We need a peace that goes beyond understanding because we simply won't have all of our answers, our questions answered. God never promises to answer your questions because they may not be an answer that we can comprehend on earth, that we can comprehend here. But God promises us to give us a peace that is even better than the answer to the question. Let that soak in for a second. He promises to give us a peace that's better than our questions. You know, our church is studying "What on Earth Am I Here For?" We're studying that, etc. We're reading Rick Warren's book. Our sermons are kind of based off of that. It's kind of our big thing we're doing. Well, Rick Warren, if you didn't know this last week, he was interviewed by Piers Morgan. Anybody see that interview at all on CNN? Piers Morgan Live? He interviewed Rick Warren because Rick Warren's son just recently committed suicide. I don't know if you know that or not. His son struggled with mental illness and struggled with his whole life, and he actually just committed suicide. Piers Morgan interviewed Rick Warren, and as I watched it this week, it really spoke to me. Because Rick was asked a question, and he said, by Piers, Piers looked at Rick and said, "Rick, do you believe Matthew is here with us right now?" And Rick's response was wonderful. He said, "No, he's not. When a person dies, they go to heaven or hell, one or the other. Matthew is in the presence of Jesus. We believe him to be saved. He struggled with mental illness. Mental illness got him, but we believe him to be in the presence of God right now. He's not with us." And I liked what he said. We don't need Matthew with us because we have the presence of God with us right now. And the presence of God with us is much better than Matthew being with us. Boy, isn't that insight. Isn't that insight? See, the peace of God is better than that. It's better than that. Then he went on to say, I love it. He said, "In God's garden of grace, even broken trees bear fruit." I don't know what you've been through, the pain, the hurt that you've had in life. I don't know what you've been through, but I want to challenge you to know this, okay? That God can take that pain, He can take those hurts, and He can give you peace in the process of that. That God can give you peace in the process of that. Go up there, buddy. There we go. God can give you peace in that process. Next, let's look at this. Next, I can gain courage to take risk. Because of God's love and His grace on your life, because of His love and His grace on your life, hear me on this. 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love. Instead, perfect love drives out fear, because fear involves punishment. So the one who fears has not reached perfection in love. God's love does so much for us, it even drives fear away from us. When we become aware of the love of God and the presence of God and who God is, that He's constantly loving us, the depth, the width, the height, the width, the length, when we become aware of His love, it helps us to take steps of faith. It helps us to press forward with what God really has for us. It encourages us, it carries us, it propels us, it moves us forward for what the Lord has for us. Many of us are so afraid to take that next step. We're so scared to move forward for what God has for us because fear cripples us. But the love of God is so much more amazing. It's so much stronger. It's so much bigger that it actually helps us and it gives us the courage to take risk. You know, this church, Life Community, is a big, big risk. And we're praying that God does just a marvelous work in this church, that God continues to move in this church. And the reality is, with our church, we're going to have to take more risk. You're aware of that, right? One day soon, I'm going to come to you and say, we feel like God's wanting us to take this next crazy step. It doesn't make sense. It's scary. It's nerve-wracking. It might be out of the school or somewhere else. And it might be real nerve-wracking. But the joy of that is this, is that we have the courage to take risks because we know that God loves us no matter what, right? There's no fear in love. How many of you all watch America's Got Talent? Anybody at all? We love that show in our house. We love it. Well, in the United Kingdom, there's an equivalent of that, which actually came first, called Britain's Got Talent. And I want you to write this down. It's so neat to go on YouTube. I wanted to show the clip, but I just couldn't this morning because of time restraints. But there's this, from Britain's Got Talent, there was a little boy by the name of Malachi Paul. Malachi Paul was his name. And Malachi Paul was a little boy from London. And Malachi steps out on that stage in front of all these people. The judges are there. And Malachi begins to sing. And in the process of singing, he gets nervous, and man, it just goes south. It just bombs. I mean, his voice is out of, it's just bad. It's just not good at all. It's just bad. The judges are kind of looking at each other. One of them's kind of emotional because the little boy's trying, and it's just bad. It's just not good. And at that point, he looks over in the wings, and there's his mother. And his mother comes out on the stage, grabs Malachi and just holds him while he weeps in front of everybody. And she just keeps saying, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. She calms him down. And then Malachi takes a risk, sings the song again, and he moves on to the next round. How many of us are so afraid to step out on that stage of life because we're going to bomb, we're going to tank, it's going to go south, we can't do it, but then again, we think, oh God, where are you? And we just bomb. We've really messed it up. Our whole life has been a mess up. It has been a failure. It has been bad. I'm telling you right now, God is coming out of the rafters for you. He's coming out of the side for you. He's wrapping His arms around you, and He's saying this, I love you, I love you, I love you. I know it was a bomb. I know it was a failure, but here's my arms. Here's my hands. They've been nail pierced for you. I love you, I love you, I love you. Take a risk. Keep going, because I'm standing right next with you right now. Oh, that's what the love of God does. Some of us today are in this room, and we're wondering whether or not we should give our life to Jesus. What if I bomb? What if I tank? What if it all goes south? What if I can't do it? And God is saying, perfect love drives out fear. I'm right here with you. I'm right here with you. Maybe today you're ready to give your heart to Jesus. Praise man, don't come forward yet, okay? But just hear me on this. Some of you all are ready right now to take that step of faith and trust Christ, to step out on that stage with Jesus next to you. You're ready to admit you're a sinner, believe that Christ died on the cross for you, and give Him in your heart. Bow your heads with me. Maybe somebody today said, Kenny, I'm ready to let Jesus into my life. I'm ready for Him to come into my heart and save me. Maybe today you need to pray this prayer just to yourself right now. Dear God, I know I'm a sinner. I know I've bombed it, but I believe in Jesus, that He died on the cross for my sins, that He came back to life. I give my heart to You. Thank You for saving me. I'm taking the risk. I'm giving it to You today. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. You have your connection card in your program. Take it out. Maybe today you prayed to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior for the very first time today. You flip it on the back. There's a spot for that. I prayed to receive Christ as my Lord and Savior. Maybe at that moment you asked Jesus into your heart, into your life for the very first time to save you. And He just did. And He just did. But you know what? When He comes in your life and you let the love of God get all over you, let's go to the fifth point, and I'm done. I love it. I worship instead of worry. When the Lord Jesus is propelling you with His love, He's carrying you, you're accepted, you're bold in your prayer request, you have peace and pain, you take the risk because of the love of God, here's what's awesome. You no longer have to live a life of worry anymore. You don't have to sit around scared to death, worrying all the time. Jesus said this, so don't worry. Saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For the idolaters eagerly seek all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be provided for you. Hear me on this. When Christ is in your life, and the love of God is all over you, you don't need to worry anymore. Instead, you need to live out your purpose. And here, you ready? Enjoy a relationship with God. Let God love you. And turn it over. Let worship happen. Let worship happen. Don't you worry anymore. Worship is here. It's time. Worship is one of the purposes of the church. A church can't be on target unless it knows how to worship. And oh, some of us are burdened by worry. But it's time to give that worry up because God loves us. And it's time to worship the Lord. And give God our worship. Maybe today you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. My prayer is that you'll come and tell somebody today that you did that, that Christ came in your life, that fear won't grip you. But for others who've been trying to meke out, you know, carve out your existence, trying to make it all fit, trying to make it all work, trying to earn love from everybody and everyone except for God, I'm telling you today, just stop and soak in God's love today. That you are loved by God, loved by the Lord. Now our praise band is going to come, and they're going to lead us in a time of worship. And my prayer today is this, that Life Community Church will worship like they've never worshiped before. That the love of God will be so evident in this place that as we sing, we are singing love songs to the Lord Jesus Christ. That we are praising Him and worshiping Him. Maybe some of us today need to come to the cross. I want to ask my buddy Mark to come stand by the cross today, and he wants to pray with you. I want to pray with you. Maybe today you need to come and say, Kenny, I accepted Christ. I accepted Christ in my life today. I did that. I need to tell somebody that He's in my heart. Maybe today you've tried to earn love, and you just are just pouring it back to God and saying, Lord, I worship today instead of worry. I'm accepted rather than ashamed. Would you stand as we sing? Would you come forward? Let's just worship God because He loves us today.